Hey, the start of something special right here, man. Let's go.
Number one fantasy player right here.
Got past the line. Shut up. Know the rules.
I just want to say this to you. Right now, best in the game. I know.
Hello and welcome in to the Pod After Touchdown Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Hoppin, joined as always by my co-host Andrew Mackins and our producer Garner. Fellas, what's going on tonight?
Just chilling. As mentioned before, I went away from beer because I'm trying to lose weight and drinking a CBD elixir, so like a seltzer that's non-alcoholic. Can you believe it?
That sounds fun. I was thinking earlier today that I didn't really need a beer. I didn't really deserve a beer, but I said, fuck it, and had a couple beers, so I'm feeling pretty good.
I mean, every day that the pandemic continues on, it's just another day where I think to myself, I could use a beer. So I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
Garner, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I had night two of homemade wings with my new air fryer, which were delicious. So I'm in a good mood, too, a little relaxed with a full stomach, but I'm feeling good.
Good stuff. Very nice stuff. I'm realizing right now that every time we do these episodes, I say, how are you doing tonight? And for most of our listeners, they might be listening during the day, and that's just probably a bit of a mind fuck. But anyway, let's move on. We've got our normal slate of items to talk through this week. We've got our kickoff question, our mental health minute, obviously our DiGiorno players of the week, and then for this week's meat of the show, we're going to do a new segment called Trick or Trend. So we're going to do a little analysis on some trends we've seen and analyze whether we think those are going to stick or not, and doing it in the theme of Halloween. So without further ado, let's kick things off.
And this game is underway.
We're going to stick with the theme of Halloween for our kickoff question, make it a non-fantasy question to start. Fellas, what's your favorite candy? What's that candy when you go to the neighbor's door and say trick-or-treat that you are hoping gets dropped into that bag?
Well, when you put it that way, Sam, I might have to change mine. Trick-or-treating, obviously, you get a lot of the name brand items. And my go-to is always the Reese's peanut butter cups. I don't want to steal yours, so I won't go too much more detail in the Reese's brand. But if I'm getting bougie, I'm going to Trader Joe's and I'm getting their dark chocolate peanut butter cups. They are phenomenal. They kick the shit out of any like branded candy out there.
Wow, I'm gonna stick with classic Reese's. I mean, you really can't go wrong with the combination of peanut butter and chocolate. I don't know why you need all this bougie shit, but
it's the dark chocolate, man. The dark chocolate is what makes it better. And it's not like it's, you know, 70% cacao or whatever they say, but it's just enough to make it chef's kiss.
Garner, what are you hoping for on that?
Well,
bag of yours.
I was gonna say, and I guess I'll still say Reese's Pieces or Reese's peanut butter cup. I would differ with Mackins, and I'd go white chocolate over dark chocolate. Not that I dislike dark chocolate, but the white chocolate ones are good. But I'll throw in a runner-up here because we all agreed. And for the first time in forever today, I had a Crunch Bar. And I totally forgot those were a thing, it feels like, for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And it is amazing. So I'll go with that then, since you guys are taking all the Reese's from me.
I like the Bunch of Crunch too, like the movie theater candy. But I thought Sam for Reese's was going to go with the Fast Break bar, which is like the chocolate, peanut butter, and nougat, which I love too. But I just never, like, I don't get them that often.
I haven't had a Reese's Fast Break in a minute, that's for sure. I mean, it's one of those things, you know, we talk about DFS. Do you play the chalk, guys? do you eat the chalk? But you just got to go with, you play the best plays, you eat the best candy, and it's Reese's. I mean, it shows with the unanimous decision that we had here among the three of us.
The contrarian of the group, i.e. me, mentioned the Trader Joe's stuff, obviously. So yeah. No surprise there either.
Okay, so let's move on to our mental health minute. Enough of the candy talk for all you sweet toothers out there. For this week, we are going to highlight something that Matt Jones, who contributes to both RotoViz and Sharp Football, is doing. He's helping promote the Fantasy Football Mental Health Initiative. I got in contact with him earlier this week, and he was kind enough to do a little promotion for it. So if you go to our Twitter account at PodAfterTD and retweet the tweet that is pinned on our Twitter, show evidence of a donation to the Fantasy Football Mental Health Initiative, and you will be entered to win a free month of RotoViz. So you could literally donate $5, $2, whatever you want, and have to win a chance to win something that's a $20 value. I frequently use RotoViz. It's one of my favorite websites, and I use their tools every single week for all of my research. So head over to our Twitter to help a great cause and maybe get rewarded other than a warm, fuzzy feeling inside.
Yeah, man, I love that this came up. I'm sure you were probably doing some relationship building on the back end to get this promo going. So we always appreciate that, Sam. And I love the articles on RotoViz because they're doing a lot of the research with their own tools for you and putting out some decent arguments out there. But you don't see like half of the article at least unless you have the subscription to RotoViz. So I definitely would recommend checking out their stuff if you win this free promo or, you know, spend $20, try it out for a free trial as well.
For sure. Thank you again to Matt for doing that and for all the support across the community for the Fantasy Football Mental Health Initiative. With that, let's move into what we're getting famous for, getting recognized across the country, you know, in some places overseas. It is the DiGiorno Players of the Week. Garner, hit the music. Andrew, I'm going to start off this week and bash Mr. Travis Kelce, who put up just 3 catches for 31 scoreless yards in a game that his team put up 43 freaking points. I mean, it was against the Denver Broncos, one of the worst teams in the league this year. I know it was snowing, but come on, you've got the best quarterback in football throwing you the ball. You've been one of the most consistent guys. You've been one of the most consistent weapons, and you should be putting up more than 4.5 fantasy points and half PPR. It was just totally egregious for him to not do that.
Yeah, that was rough. I mean, Mahomes didn't do great either, so you're kind of in a shit situation there with your elite players. Here's a guy who I thought could be elite going forward. I was hyping him up before. His name is Mike Williams, another player in the AFC West who completely shit the bed this week. He's letting Justin Herbert just throw it around to no-name guys like quote-unquote Keenan Allen and Jalen Guyton. I don't know about that last guy, but anyway, one reception for 4 yards. I thought he'd get some more deep shots. We didn't see it happen. It's just complete trash, 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 trash in your flex spot.
It certainly wasn't the best week from that pair of AFC West pass catchers.
This is exactly
little bit of extra editing on that because it looked like you were some of the most animated I've seen this season, at least on the soundboard here.
This is exactly what Mike Williams does, is he gets you all your hopes up with this giant boom game and then completely disappears. Why did I forget about this?
Well,
I'm still tilting.
That segues perfectly into our next segment, which is Trick or Trend. So we're going to talk about a couple of trends and see if we think that it's going to stick and continue on through the next couple of weeks, or if it's a trick, if it's something that has been a little bit of a fluke in the system and isn't going to continue. So I'm going to kick us off here with my first trend, and it's about someone that I was negative on and low on this entire offseason. It's Mr. Matthew Stafford, and in his last two games, he's faced the Jaguars and Falcons, who have allowed 24.9 and 29.9 fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks in the games not played by Stafford. So it's those are both pretty good matchups, but in those games, agree. He scored just 13.3 and 18.4 fantasy points. It's just been absolutely atrocious for him. There were obviously a lot of high expectations for him entering the season. Kenny Golladay missed a couple of games to start the season. And Matthew Stafford, I think to a lot of people, has been playing better with Golladay in the lineup. His average depth of target has increased with Golladay in, but that hasn't translated into fantasy football production. DeAndre Swift is breaking out a little bit and is getting a little bit more run, stealing some goal line touches that he's able to convert into touchdowns. So the trend here is basically, is Matthew Stafford going to continue to suck and not deliver fantasy football? I'll let you, I guess, respond to that first, and then I'll rebut.
Sounds good. And this is a tough one for me because I liked Matthew Stafford going into the year. I didn't really want to overpay for him as it came to draft day, but when I saw, you know, Kenny Golladay being out and then they hit the bye week, like it was a really rough patch for him to start. And I was like, you know, they've got some good matchups coming up. I'm going to fade the noise or ignore what happened in the beginning and see if he can turn it around. And after 2 weeks, he clearly hasn't. So in our league of record, the one I'm in with Garner, I am like very tempted this week to come crawling back to Carson Wentz, who I quit on too early and has now been, you know, going crazy in some games where he's shorthanded as per usual. So, you know, to bring it all around, because I'm considering that, I see this as a trend until it changes. And I think it comes down to coaching and play calling. I'm not seeing a lot of exciting things from Matt Patricia. And I don't really, I mean, it's kind of a shock that they're 3-3 at this point.
I'm in lockstep with you there. Obviously, that's part of the reason why I brought this trend up. And you talked about the opponents. I talked about it too. This week, he's got the Indianapolis Colts at home. But after that, he's got the Minnesota Vikings, the Washington football team, Carolina Panthers, and the Houston Texans. So those are some defenses that I think a lot of people will expect Stafford to exploit, but we also expected him to exploit the Falcons and Jaguars defense, and he just hasn't been able to do that. So I would need to see one or two good games out of him in the next couple to even trust him near my lineup, and I don't think he's worth holding on to in any one quarterback league at this point.
Tough, man. Tough beat for Stafford. I'll switch into one of mine, and it's for a guy that I know you've told me I got to pretty much stop putting in my lineup if I can, because I made some lineup mistakes with him, and I wanted to touch on him more last week, even though we've talked about him a bit already. Marquise Brown. Now, I don't know if this is a trend so much as just a flat line of him consistently getting 6 targets in every game this season. But he hasn't dipped below that, which is a good thing. He has seen, you know, an uptick in snap share in almost every game, and his highest snap share came the week before the bye at 86%. And I saw on the season, he's actually, and this is from at yards per Gretsch, Ben Gretsch, we've had him on the show. We love his Stealing Signals column, his newsletter. Marquise Brown is, I believe, second or tied for first in weighted targets per route run. So I believe it's 0.74. He's got on that newsletter some more explanation about that, but basically it's a combination of targets per route run and then factoring in air yards as well. So he's getting good opportunity And I think that should mean he's going to see more production down the road, you know, more deep shots that connects with Lamar Jackson. Feels like the Ravens offense has been on a whole, you know, slower paced and not maybe as many overall opportunities. Like, is there a trend? I guess what I'm trying to say here is there a trend where Marquise Brown can see even more opportunity coming off the bye if they start to play faster, or if the team, you know, just has to connect more on those shots to Marquise Brown? Or is this something that the ceiling, he's already hit his ceiling, like the ceiling is capped?
So you brought up the pace, you brought up, you know, just the overall number of plays that they're running. I mean, if you look at their games through the first 6 weeks, obviously they had their bye this past week, all of the games that they've won have been complete blowouts. I mean, they've been leading from the start and have just absolutely torched their the opposing defense, aside from the Philadelphia game where they won by only 2 points. But I think that's a bit of an aberration, because Philadelphia came back towards the end and Baltimore was leading by double digits for a good portion of that game. So upcoming, they have the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Indianapolis Colts, New England Patriots, and Tennessee Titans. And while I don't think, you know, a lot of people have said this year that the Ravens aren't good at coming from behind and winning, they're good at, you know, getting ahead and then holding a lead, I think these games will offer a more neutral game script for the Baltimore Ravens and keeps the playbook open, where they're giving Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews, two of their best playmakers, more opportunities to thrive. So I think it's, you know, his lack of production is a bit of a trick, if we're staying on theme here. And I think right now he's one of the best buy low candidates, because he is past his buy. So there is that aspect of things, in especially in season long leagues, and he just hasn't put up those big blowout games. I mean, you got to remember that this is only his second year in the league, so he's still probably doing a little bit of developing, but he is clearly the 1A or the 1B, whether, you know, you put him or Mark Andrews up there. So I'm very optimistic about Marquise Brown's rest of season outlook at this point.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And to just agree with you, that I think the lack of production is a bit of a trick. I like the trend of the actual opportunity and the metrics that I shared there. And to your point on the games where they've been crushing these other teams, I mean, we haven't been raving about the Ravens offense like we were last year, even though they're putting up like 30 plus points in some of these games. And I think that's because a lot of these wins have come on the back of their defense, just like not even letting the Browns, the Texans, or the Washington football team score more than 20 points. So it turns into this really weird, like, we're just going to slowly run the ball out and not get too flashy, which is obviously really annoying for fantasy. It's like the same thing that the Rams did on Monday Night Football last night, where Sean McVay just like ran it the entire fourth quarter against the Bears, because they knew that Nick Foles couldn't like score on their defense.
The last thing I'll point out with Baltimore's schedule, and this applies to, I think, a lot of their offensive weapons in fantasy football, but if you're able to make it to the fantasy football playoffs with some of these guys on your team, they play Dallas in week 13. They play the Browns in week 14. They play the Jaguars in week 15. And they play the Giants in week 16. So that is probably the best stretch of opponents you could have in fantasy football this year. So I mean, if even if your playoffs somehow extend into week 17, they play the Bengals then. So I really, really like the Baltimore Ravens prospects from a fantasy football perspective rest of the season. But let's move on. The second trend that I've got has to relate to a backfield, and that's the Washington football team backfield. Over the past several weeks, we've seen the opportunities basically concentrate around Antonio Gibson and J.D. McKissic. Peyton Barber he's gotten a couple of opportunities, but has essentially been phased out of the offense at this point, which is good. I mean, the fact that it's down to two players is a great start. But over the past 4 weeks, J.D. McKissic has outsnapped Antonio Gibson in every single week. But on the flip side, Antonio Gibson has gotten more opportunities than J.D. McKissic in every single game. So it's a bit of a confusing situation here where we've got one guy who's getting more playing time, but another guy that is getting more opportunities and, you know, seeing more opportunities with the playing time that he's getting. The football team is on a bye this week, but again, after the bye, their upcoming schedule is the Giants, the Lions, the Bengals, and the Cowboys. So could be a great stretch of games for the players in this backfield. Andrew, I'm curious if you think it will basically continue to be a relatively split backfield like this, or if one of the two will break out and separate himself. And I think the majority of people listening on this podcast would hope that it's Antonio Gibson.
Yeah, I'm going to just put the flag down and say that it's a trend for Antonio Gibson. I think, you know, we saw against the Ravens, he had a 20-point game, which was great to see. That was in, I think, even half-point PPR. They went away from him a bit in terms of attempts against a tough Rams defense and, a sloppy game against the Giants. But then they came back against Dallas, and they gave him the ball again, and he broke out in that one game. And he's already got 4 rushing touchdowns on the season, which you like to see. I don't know why, coming out of the bye, they wouldn't just hand over the reins to him in terms of the backfield. And I think it was, I saw both John Daigle referencing it, his coworker Hayden Winks talking about rookie running backs coming off the bye, seeing more work. And we've seen it with a couple guys this season already. And I think Gibson could easily be the next guy in that list. I don't see the reason for J.D. McKissic to be in there. I mean, maybe the trick here is the snap percentages, just because McKissick's out there and maybe he's running routes, but they might be using him for pass blocking a bunch. But Gibson's the one who's going to get you the volume opportunity at this point. And I don't think McKissic's ever going to be that guy.
That's a good point. I want to go back to something you said to sort of call you out a little bit. I think, you know, you mentioned something about J.D. McKissic not necessarily being the guy, or that he shouldn't be the guy. But I think that's falling into the fallacy of assuming logical coaching, like we've talked about a couple times before, and that we think that McKissic shouldn't have that role and Antonio Gibson should have 90% of the backfield touches. But based on what I just said, we're clearly seeing that the coaching staff wants to keep him involved. I think it'll stay the way that it is for now, with McKissic continuing to stay involved. The only way I see them phasing out McKissic is if they're in an overly positive game script, and they haven't been in that situation for several weeks now. So that's to me the way I'm thinking this is gonna go. But Andrew, what's the final trick or trend that you have for us tonight?
Yeah, so I'm gonna bring up another confusing backfield, and it's just like a scenario where we have to, you know, make the best case for one player or another, and or you just say that you're gonna avoid it completely, because we were talking about it a little bit before this. And it has somewhat to do with Jerick McKinnon, but more interestingly, a deeper league ad or waiver wire claim, Jamichael Hasty, their undrafted rookie. Let me pull up the numbers here. It was actually 2 weeks ago that he started getting work in the 49ers backfield. He saw 20% snap share. That increased to 24% this week against the Patriots. He saw 9 carries and 1 target in each game. Now you've got Mostert and Jeff Wilson both hitting the IR, with longer-term injuries. There seems to be no sign in sight of Tevin Coleman coming off the IR yet. So they've got Hasty and they've got McKinnon. And McKinnon was a non-factor last week. So I'm just curious to if you think that Hasty getting more involved is a trend, or if it's a complete trick and now McKinnon's just going to get the majority of the work. And I think it's a good parallel to draw with the Washington football backfield as well.
It's really frustrating because we found out after the fact that McKinnon, even though he was active, basically wasn't going to play this past week. So people probably plugged him into their lineups after they saw that Mostert was going on IR. I mean, I pumped him up a ton because in the last game that we saw without Mostert, McKinnon just went off. He had the highest snap share of his career and played extremely well and then just did absolutely nothing. It was the Jeff Wilson show, and then he ended up getting hurt too. And part of me wants to say it's a trick because I think, there's just so many of these guys. They can just plug in one after another and we think we have it figured out at one point, and then Kyle Shanahan just says, "Not so fast, my friend." And just
well, that's just the entire reason we have to talk about it, because you could say, okay, now McKinnon's definitely the guy, but they've got Hasty and they're just going to double his opportunity now.
Yeah,
Debo's hurt too. So there's that aspect of how much of Debo's opportunity do they give to Brandon Ayuk, who are very similarly used. I mean, for all intents and purposes, I hope they just give Kittle 20 targets a game, but
that sure would be nice.
Yeah, we love that from our studs, but it is tough. I do not blame you for siding with the it's more likely a trick than it is a trend with Hasty, just because it's only been 2 games. He hasn't even hit 33% snap share. And obviously, a guy like Gibson is seen closer to 50% snap share. So if you need a comparison, that's a little easier to take a chance on, obviously. But I bring it up because it's a deep league ad that could really bear some fruit for you down the line if the 49ers just end up going with one guy like they did with Mostert last year. It's maybe a little too much down narrative street.
Right. I think, is he worth an ad if you're desperate at running back? Yes. I think that's a little bit of a different question, but the level of trust I have plugging him into my lineup is a bit of a different story. If I was in that scenario, I'd be adding Hasty in the hopes of him just going off and smashing against one of his upcoming opponents and then trying to flip him as quickly as possible. And obviously we're reaching the point in the season where fantasy football trade deadlines are coming up, so you won't have as many weeks to do that. So you really are going to have to capitalize on that one boom week and just, hoping that someone bites on the bait and trades for him. But that whole backfield is a trick, especially, the fact that Shanahan's lying about McKinnon's usage and stuff like that, I think really just has me grinding my gears and a little triggered, which is why I think it's a trick.
Fair enough. Shall we move on to our start sits?
Yeah, let's wrap things up. We've got 6 start sit questions for you this week. We're going to hopefully give some good picks for these. Our first one is Jarvis Landry versus the Las Vegas Raiders, or Chase Claypool at the Baltimore Ravens. This one's pretty simple to me. It's Jarvis Landry because OBJ is out for the season, which really sucks, but I think he'll see the bulk of the targets for the Browns. And as much as the Raiders are a run funnel, I think the Browns will have the ability to put up a decent number of points and opportunities for Jarvis Landry to score.
Yeah, I'm agreeing. I'm in lockstep with you there. If you guys didn't know, OBJ out for the season, like Sam said. So I think that that's arrow up for Landry. I think obviously Baker and Rashard Higgins have had some chemistry together in a few different games throughout their time in Cleveland. So I think both guys are more interesting than Claypool this week.
If you're listening to this on Thursday and just now figuring out that Odell Beckham Jr. is out for the season, then maybe you should, be reevaluating your fantasy football decisions at this point.
Hey, they're listening to the podcast for information. This might be their only podcast that they listen to all week. OBJ is the biggest injury of the season, guy.
By the way, if you didn't know, there is a national pandemic going on. It's called the coronavirus, in which people are dying at an alarming rate. But we move on. Our next start sit is Mike Davis playing the Atlanta Falcons on Thursday Night Football, or Jerick McKinnon at the Seattle Seahawks. Andrew, I'll let you take this one first since it involves a guy that we were just talking about.
Yeah, Mike Davis, man, he was a top candidate for DiGiorno Player of the Week this week. So I wanted to get him in the conversation here. I'm inclined to, you can't move off of him just because he had the one bad week. I think the Falcons are bad enough where he's going to get opportunity in this game. It's really tough because they both have good matchups, and obviously it's either McKinnon or Hasty at this point, but as long as CMC's out, Mike Davis is still the way.
Yep. I agree with you there. Now, you put this next one in, and it's relatively interesting. I mean, I think it's fairly
relatively obvious, interesting.
it just from a narrative standpoint, I guess. And so it's Le'Veon Bell versus his former team, the New York Jets, which I was thinking earlier, like, has to be the quickest turnaround for a revenge game in NFL history, or James Conner at the Baltimore Ravens. I'll let you start with this one too, because I'm curious as to what your thought process is.
Yeah, I mean, I just happened to look at the schedule and I was like, ooh, Le'Veon Bell is playing his former team like 2 weeks after being traded. And obviously I was looking for another guy who would be equal in, name value here. So I think if you're choosing between these two, you're in a pretty good situation to begin with, because Connor's been playing well, but Connor going up against the Ravens is a tough draw, and I can't ignore the Le'Veon Bell revenge game. The usage is going to be tough to fly in the face of, but if they've got positive game script, run both Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Le'Veon Bell. So yeah, wheels up.
I'm going with James Conner. I'm trusting that workload a lot more. As good as the Ravens defense has been, I think they'll be in a more competitive game. Conner's gotten a lot of work. Unfortunately, he's been vultured by Benny Snell a number of times this season. I don't think I see that slowing down, but the Chiefs are favored by like 20 points, which is absolutely ridiculous. And I think they either just get it done through the air or are so far ahead that they're putting Darrell Williams in the backfield. So it'll be
fair
tough,
enough. Is this one worth putting a bet on? Probably not. Le'Veon Bell in your lineup in a flex spot, like, please do it. That's what I will say. Hopefully you can play Connor and Bell.
I was thinking about offering a bet for this. So do you want to put a $10 donation down on it?
Well, what's the metric here? Because I do agree with you that the volume is like.
Well, what are we talking about?
You backed off of a bet last week. I'm backing off of this bet this week. So
okay. Let's get through these last couple a little more quickly. We've got Jared Goff at the Miami Dolphins or Matt Ryan at the Carolina Panthers. For me, it's Jared Goff. I was saying earlier before we started recording that I'm going with a Rams onslaught in my Scott Fishbowl team, and I think they're just going to crush the Dolphins.
I hope they do, because I've got Goff as well. I have Matt Ryan highlighted. This one is too tough.
Make a decision. Garner, you want to flip the coin?
I'll take Matt Ryan and put the bet on this one, because I'm recency biased. I don't like how much the Rams have been running the ball. That's my issue.
Okay, well, I'm not going to take you up on that bet, but let's move on. What? We've got Travis Fulgham versus the
Matt
Dallas
Ryan
Cowboys.
Versus Jared Goff. What? I thought this one was an easy pick.
Did I say that? The last one was a little bit easier.
Okay, let's move on. I've got Fulgham over Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, we didn't even say the second one yet. It's Travis Fulgham versus the Dallas Cowboys or Leonard Fournette versus the New York Giants. We both have Fulgham in this scenario. Fournette had a decent workload in the game against the Raiders, but I think that was a bit of an anomaly. Our last one is a pair of tight ends, and it's Harrison Bryant, the breakout star for the Cleveland Browns, versus the Las Vegas Raiders, or Mike Gesicki versus the Los Angeles Rams.
I've got Harrison Bryant here, and I think there's just more uncertainty on the Gesicki side with Tua coming in to necessarily trust that. I think these are both interesting streaming options, but because Bryant did it last week, and I believe even Rob Gronkowski was able to get some production against these Raiders last week, I would roll with Bryant. He seems to be the favorite for Baker amongst the tight ends. And I don't expect Austin Hooper to be back either. I had appendicitis once too.
That's some great insight there. I'm going to go with Mike Gesicki on this one. It's a little bit concerning how involved Adam Shaheen and something called Durham Smythe are getting involved in the offense. But going to the couple of points I made earlier, I expect the Rams to be out ahead in this one, and especially with Tua, and I think that Jarvis Landry is going to soak up a good chunk of the targets in that offense while Kareem Hunt hopefully runs over the Raiders defense.
That's fair. That's fair as well.
Well, that's all we have for today's episode. Thank you all for joining. Be sure to check out our Twitter at PodAfterTD to take advantage of the promo from Matt Jones. But for Andrew Mackins at Andrew Mackins, for Garner at Garnther, I am Sam Hoppen at Sam Hoppen. And on the second attempt, the Zane Gonzalez kick is good. Thank you.